Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 4 o'clock hour. Greg Likens here with you alongside Channing Crowder on the Hockman and Crowder Show. Hawk off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Alex Solano with us as well as we're going to take you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up at around 4:40, Ben Golliver will join the program. He does everything NBA for the Washington Post, national writer for them. So looking forward to that as we've got a lot to get into with him. Always like to get somebody from outside of South Florida's perspective on the Miami Heat, as well as these Houston Rockets rumors, the Celtics rumors, Mike Conley traded today. So much going on in the NBA, and free agency hasn't actually officially begun yet. So we've got so much more that will likely occur, but we'll talk to Ben about all of that. As mentioned earlier as well, a little bit later on, we'll tell you when, we're going to give away a Blaze Pizza Party Pack, which includes 6 pizza passes. So that sounds delicious. So we've got that. We'll give that away coming up in just a little bit. Channing, we have been all over the place, which I know isn't something new to the Hawk and Crowder Show, depending on where things go. But a lot of people have been chiming in on the text line about the wedding conversation and all of that. There was something you brought up to me during a commercial break, which, you know, you have all sorts of strong opinions on a number of different topics.
Yes, I do.
You do. I mean, that is a gift that you have. And so,
is that a gift or a curse?
Well, in this forum, it's a gift. I'm sure for some of your friends and family, you know, if it's unprovoked, you just start laying it on them. They're like, man, Channing going at it again. My goodness, he thinks I'm like his co-host on the radio or something.
I have buddies that turn to me driving places or fishing. Bro, I'm not on radio. I'm not going to talk to you all day. Stop. I'm not talking to you for 3 hours straight. Man, I got information I want to give people. I want to talk. I'm a talker. But no, there was a story. It was, and it started by some little skinny.
Bella Thorne.
Somebody hacked into her iCloud and saw her naked pictures. And Whoopi Goldberg was like, and I kind of agree with Whoopi. She's like, why the hell, in 2019, you understand that the cloud and the phone can be lost, they can hack into your stuff. Why do you even have naked pictures on there if you don't want people to see them? And I don't agree with that. I mean, that's not my point. My point is, as a grown person, I can see the little college, and again, I was dumb when I was young too. I wasn't sending no wee-wee pics, but I was dumb too, and you ask girls for pictures. I'm talking about as a grown-ass man and woman. Why do you take nudes and send them to somebody else? You have a car. Go see the real meat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand if a guy's at overseas, if he's deployed or something. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to see your wife. Okay, like I'm talking about. You're in Miami and they're in Aventura, and y'all are sending nudes to each other. That is the dumbest thing in the damn world to me. Get in the car, drive 30 minutes, and go see the real pieces. Go see. Don't look at a picture of fried chicken. Go bite the fried chicken.
Well, this Bella Thorne, she posted nude pictures of herself because a hacker had gained access to them and was threatening to release them. So instead of, you know, him trying to blackmail her, she just said, well, guess what? Here they are for everybody to see. Now you got nothing on me. And that's where this all started.
Yeah.
But you're saying that anybody in this day and age should not have naked pictures on their phone.
No. Because you know the problem with it. You know, like, why are you more comfortable carrying around credit cards and not cash? Just in case you lose your wallet. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you walk around knowing I leave my phone, your phone's open, now somebody grabs your phone off the bar, grabs it, goes to photos, and sends it to themselves real quick. Like, it's so easy. You know how technology works. I don't understand sending nudes or having nudes as a... I don't know. Can I put an age on it? Let me say 20. I think Solana. You're getting out of the time of nudes, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but just why?
Well, she's 21, first of all. Like, she's not an older person.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that made me think about it, this story, and Whoopi and all, and all the arguing about it. But then I just went to thinking deeper, like, at me, like, I can't see myself keeping a naked picture of myself on my phone. I don't know where I would send it to. My wife doesn't want to see that crap.
Well, I would also say that we probably have a lot of young people who perhaps do that, the sexting thing. But then
what is sexting?
But here's the thing. I would say that, like, unless you are in a, it doesn't matter. Even, I mean, we're having all this marriage conversation. Even if you feel like you're in the most secure marriage possible, you imagine if sometime down the road things go awry, and then that person has that, and they can, you know, who knows what they do when they go crazy or they feel like they've been wronged in a relationship. Like, my goodness, you're sending that out to somebody, and the next thing you know, they post it somewhere, and it's like, oh man, then your manhood's there for everybody to see.
Yeah, and then their phone. So you have the secure everything iPad. You have your mom's maiden name with your dad's year of birth. Nobody can figure out your password, but you send it to your dumb boyfriend, and it's his name. So his password's his name. It's not hard to tell. So like now it's on his cloud. Now this, bro, no technology should surprise you in 2019. And as a grown person, why aren't you going to see the real stuff? What is sexting? You send a picture of you, I send a picture of me, we send pictures back and forth. That's the dumbest thing in the damn world.
Nah.
For what, Solana?
Because sometimes, you know, you can't be in the same city. You just want to see a little...
What about FaceTime? So then you can see it moving. You can see the real thing. You can see the action. You can see them with the wang wang. Uh-huh.
I get you, but that's why so many people do it, right? Because they, like, it's...
Because so many people are dumb. Think, just answer that question for him. If you could send a picture, right, a picture that can be on the iCloud and can be saved and can be duplicated and sent out, why not FaceTime the person and now you're seeing video of the real meat, the real pieces?
Well, they're busy. Like, they're in a meeting. So you
they're
send
so
them
busy
a
that they can take naked pictures and then run back to the meeting from the bathroom?
They're in a meeting with their boss, and you can't FaceTime them at the moment, but you're looking good. You just got out of the shower. You're looking real good. You're looking at stuff in the mirror, and you're like, damn, they're going to appreciate this picture. Let me take a quick little pic of my stuff and send it to them, and you know they're going to your significant other's going to appreciate it. I'm not even a person who partakes in the sexting act, but I'll say, like, it's very prevalent in society nowadays. Like, I get what you're saying, though. It doesn't make sense to do it when you know people are going to get – when you know people are getting hacked doing it, especially if you're a celebrity. But everybody has that same complex, right? It's not going to happen to me. Like, everybody thinks – For anything, whether it's sexting, whatever you want to talk about, everybody, before they do something they know, I probably shouldn't be doing, or I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't be there, it's not going to happen to me. It can't happen to me. Those things don't happen to me, and then they do end up happening to you.
But the risk-reward factor of a sext. I send one picture. There's a chance that this can hit the World Wide Web and everybody in the world can see it. And the positive is what?
Well, but you know how this goes. You caught up in the moment. You probably don't think about that.
That's my thing. There's no moment of sending naked pictures. That's not a moment.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you put yourself in a young person situation, and it doesn't have to be a young person, but I think that, like, a lot of young people, they get caught up in it, and all of a sudden, like, especially if, like, a girl asks a guy, like, hey, show me, then, like, at that point.
I'm on the way. What you want to see? You want to see the swipe? I'm 35 minutes out. Take a shower. Like, you see what I'm saying? You're grown.
Take a shower.
You don't know what's going to happen when you get there. Take a shower. You don't know if she washed. She could be coming from the gym.
Take a preemptive shower.
That's not a good thing. I'm on the way. Rinse up.
We should create an acronym for that. TAS. OMWTAS.
Take a shower. Like, for real, you need to keep your body clean.
We got a lot of people who have strong opinions one way or the other on this based on text line. And so somebody says, when Hawk is gone, does Channing turn into the 55-year-old on the show?
I have some points to make.
I also wanted to point out that Bella Thorne, for those who are unaware, is not an adult film actress, because somebody texted that in. She was actually born in Pembroke Pines, Florida. So she's been like she was a child actor, and she's only 21, but she's been in the business for a long time, and all of this. But we got a lot of people who are saying, some people hearing, I guess Solana's part of this says our youth is lost. Somebody else says sexting is also a white thing.
It might be cultural.
And some other people think that you have pictures of your manhood in the cloud.
I don't. I've had girls ask me back, not now, back in the day in college and all, when it was the Nextel, the brr, brr, when those first came out, and they had the, I think that was my first camera phone, was the brr, brr, with the little clicker. Hey, well, show me what you got. You live in the next dorm. I'll just come over there. We can show each other face to face. Let's see the pieces. Pull out the glory. Like that. I said, I can understand if your man's deployed. And y'all okay? I can grasp that.
Yeah, well, it's deployed, or as Solana pointed out, if there is a long distance relationship,
I can grasp that.
Then you can understand that being a thing.
Like you and your lady, y'all both live here, correct, Solana?
Yeah.
Y'all would sext?
No, well, like I'm not even lying. Like I don't do that because I'm not sending anybody anything. But like, I think it also has to do with. Like, you're in the spotlight, right? Like, now you work in media. You were a Miami Dolphin. Like, even Greg, like, we do radio shows. Something like this goes public. Like, people are going to want to see it. But, like, the common person who's not in the spotlight, not in the media, whatever, like, they don't view it the way we're viewing it now. They're just viewing it as I'm texting my girl or my boyfriend or whatever a picture of me.
Yeah, and there's different levels of this, too, with the getting out to the public, the iCloud, the hackers. Like, I hit on that, too. But I'm talking period just what's the enjoyment of seeing – the naked picture when you could be there with the nakedness.
You know, like, people are freaky, man. Like, people like different things.
If you're
they enjoy
that freaky, go
things.
Get freaky. But grab the meat. You're talking about freaky. When's the last freak that just pulls out a bunch of pictures? I really do not understand.
You cannot wrap your head around this one.
I can't understand why, if you live in the same city, you need to send naked pictures back and forth.
Right, but how do you not comprehend this when you consider that there are people out there, you know, on Instagram and all these different social media platforms that literally make a living showing as much skin as possible?
And that doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. They say she's an IG model. What's her salary annually? Like, what does she have, retirement? Is there a severance at the end of this? Oh, she just takes half-naked pictures and posts them on Instagram and is unemployed. When I see IG model, Greg, to answer your question, I see unemployed. Every time I see IG model, I see unemployed person. I know how, like, Kim Kardashian, and she got famous having a sex tape. Mm-hmm. Now she has L'Oreal and all, making $1 million a tweet. All respect to her. The girl on South Beach laying in the waves, she's not making no money. She's unemployed. You are unemployed. IG model, unemployed.
One of our texters says, I'm leaving work at 4:30. I'm going to call my wife and tell her to, quote unquote, rinse up.
Yeah, rinse up.
TAS.
You don't got to always shower. Sometimes you got to wrench. Just wrench off.
You imagine, like, hey, just go outside and spray yourself off with a hose. I'm on my way.
Just rinse off a little bit. Just act like you were trying. Be honest, I don't care.
You don't care about saying that? Is that what you're saying? Hey, go take a shower before I'm on my way. Take a shower.
And since we're on it, my wife would tell me. She's like, don't get in. If you want to do something, don't get in this bed without getting in the wash. I said, okay. Well, she doesn't. I say wash and bathe. She'll say take a shower. She'll tell me, go take a shower. I'm getting this bed.
Charity's like, all right, I gotta take my hour bath, and then I'll be in. Just stay awake, all right? Stay interested.
You can go to sleep. Either way, whatever you want. Yeah, man, I do not. I all the way been before it got huge. When I was in college, guys would get in trouble for it. Because I've had girls, when I was at UF, girls would come up and they'd be like, oh, look at your teammate. And they would show us pictures of them, and it's like you're trying to show out for them. But what are you trying to show out for them? You think the picture
so
of your
would
goodies.
Would have pictures of your teammates'
manhood
stuff.
And show them to us as jokes, laughing. Look at this. He think this is cute. He think I'm going to mess with him because he sends this. What the hell? What you doing? What you doing, Hot Tamale? That was his nickname.
Hot Tamale?
Hot Tamale was his nickname.
Who was that?
He's not famous, but I have some texts coming in. My buddy's a laugh. Yeah, I always went back, and the whole thing made me think about it. Like, I need to ask, what is it? What's the enjoyment in sending pictures back and forth to each other? Didn't know.
Well, I don't think we've gotten to the bottom of it, but you certainly have made your opinion clear. I tend to agree with you because there's really nothing good that comes out of it, right? I mean, there's more risk than reward, but Salata makes a great point that if you're somebody who even is a semi-public figure, you should be concerned about that. But for a lot of these people that are just, you know, have every, you know, regular everyday jobs kind of thing, or especially if like you're like high school or college kid or something like that, you don't think that far ahead. You don't think about that. That's what I'm saying. You're caught up in the moment. In that case, like if you're that age and you don't have access to go drive over, you don't have the line ready to go take a shower before I get there, then you can see these sorts of things happening. But anyway, Bella Thorne.
When I was young, I had a bike.
Oh, you would use that?
And I would be scared that the rubbers would fall out of my pocket, so I put them in my tube sock. I put on tall tube sock and had the rubbers right there on my calf. Answer that question. Answer that question. No problem. 100% on that test.
Hey, we got Ben Golliver coming up in about 20 minutes. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we have had some notable news in the NBA. We'll reset that for you. Plus, we'll read some more of your texts because some, if we can read them, we'll read them. We'll see. I may have to paraphrase a bunch of them. Stay tuned here on QAM. Radio.com. Listen to live coverage of the NHL Draft on the home of the Florida Panthers, AM 560 and 96.5 FM HD2 WQIM this Friday beginning at 8 p.m. and Saturday beginning at 1 o'clock. Sponsored by Checkers, Old München German Restaurant, Bratz, Wiener Schnitzel, Potato Pancakes, Pretzels with Mustard, and more, all at Checkers Old München German Restaurant in Pompano Beach. All right. Now, some may pronounce that Munchen because that's how it's spelled.
I was going to say, I believe you have some German ties, right?
I lived in Germany for a couple of years.
Right. You're the only person, I think, who pronounces that the way it should be pronounced.
Ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch.
Look at that. I like that.
Hey, man, Solana can drop all the Spanish, and we look at him like, whoa, like the Alejandro Solana, you know, when he does the update. I learned a little German back when I was Wait, there. So
how old were you?
I was 9, 10, and 11. It was almost 3 years. So moved over there when I was 9 years old.
You can communicate? Like go to Germany now instead of communicating?
Well, used to be. Not as well. Like when I lived there, I went to Munich International School. And so Munich is, in German, it's München. That's the name of the city. And Munich, you know, in English, we call it Munich. But international school, there were 45 different nationalities represented at the school. Wow. So people from all over the world. But we had, our classwork was in English, except everybody was required to take a German class. For a 45-minute period every day. And so I started learning German. And the best thing was I'd leave school and everything was in German, right? So it's like I picked up on it really quickly. I was at an age, you know, they say kids can pick up on languages quickly. So we'd go to restaurants and stuff. We'd go out like with my parents and my sister, and I would be the one ordering for everybody. I'd speak to the, you know, people in German and all this stuff. And as a 10-year-old kid and, you know, kind of a little nerd, you know, like, But now, I mean, having lived back in the United States for 20-plus years, I have no place to use it. You know, I wish we had moved somewhere that the Spanish was the language, because had I known that eventually I'd make my way to South Florida, that would have been much, much more useful. And then my fiance and her family, they're Colombian. And so, you know, we get together with, you know, her side of the family, including abuelita, you're talking about abuela, and she and I just look at each other and, you know, si, gracias, yeah, muy bien. And, you know, that's about the extent of it. She loves the Miami Heat. So I'm like, Dragic? Te gusta? Sí.
Te gusta?
Yeah. Like that's the extent of our conversation. So I wish I had learned Spanish the way I learned German, because it would be much more useful.
But. Yeah, and I do that sometimes when I go to countries and where they're like, you know, you travel and you're there like 2 weeks and I don't know not one word more than I knew when I got there. I feel like I let myself down, but I don't think a lot of people can learn foreign languages that fast.
It's tough. I mean, do you when you go to another country, though, do you try to bring like a book that gives you some phrases to use, like where's the bathroom or something like that, or no?
No,
you just rely on people speaking English.
People speaking and talking to you, and then you can kind of, when they're pointing, and you can kind of understand where the conversation is going and hear certain words and try to pick it up. Like, we went to Cuba. My wife's Cuban, so when they opened the borders, or whatever, we went to Cuba. We were there like 12 days.
Mm.
Didn't learn one word.
Not at all.
Nope. The words I knew, I already knew, and I tried to learn them. And then even the words I found out what they were, I can't, pandanaria or something, the bread kitchen. I was staying in the bread kitchen line every morning for my loaf of bread and stuff. But I just still, I don't, and it just get the concept. But like you said, kids learn faster than grown people. I was old as hell.
They do. I mean, I feel like once you reach a certain age, it's difficult to pick up that quickly some of the languages and all that. Although it's funny, though, you know, like the stereotype about German people is that they're very proper, like everything starts on time and all that stuff. And so, you know, what I have found, or what I try to do, is if you go to a foreign country, you at least give the attempt or make an effort to try to communicate with the locals. And then even if it's just to say, like, you know, I don't really speak Spanish, like no hablo español, whatever it is. And then maybe they'll, you know, be like, okay, that's fine. But so, like, I went back to Germany a few years ago, and so we had friends who lived in Barcelona. We visited them first. So we're in Spain, and then we go to Munich, because I wanted to show my fiance, like, oh, this is where I used to live, this whole thing. So we're in Spain for a little while, and so I'm picking up on some of the Spanish, because I'm around Spanish all the time. So, like, now Spanish is, like, the second language that pops into my head. And so we get to Germany, and then now the pressure's on me. Like, she was the one speaking for us, really, when we were in Spain. We get to Germany, and so then I'm trying to, like, take that next step and, like, trying to remember all this stuff. But what's happening in my mind, my 30-plus-year-old mind, is that German and Spanish now have fused into one language. So I've got different words in the different languages coming out in the middle of a sentence, and I've got these German people who are looking at me like, what on earth are you saying right now? Right? Because, like, they'll be like, oh, like, you know, we'll order something at a little bakery, and then they'll ask, like, hey, do you want anything else? And I'll be like, see, you know, and like, see, see what? Like, you know, was ist das?
What's it called? English shaming. Is that a such thing?
Well,
it was like that in Cuba with me, where they would look and they would say, your father? And I say, yeah, father in law. Cuban. Yes, see. And what is it? Mujer, is that wife?
Mujer. No, no. That's wife is esposa.
Yeah, esposa.
Mujer is a woman.
Esposa, yeah. Cubana? Si.
With the thumbs up.
Si, yeah. You speak no Spanish. No. And they were trying to tell me, like, everybody around you is Cuban and you can't speak Spanish. They were English shaming me. And I didn't like it. I was the biggest thing in Cuba, though, so they wouldn't really do anything to me. But
right, so you just stood up.
No, I knew it was cervezas.
Oh, yeah.
Cervezas, finale, izquierda, derecha, finale, cervezas.
Yo quiero cervezas.
I would know how to get to the beer place. That's real. Every night I go to the beer place.
That was your routine for 12 days? You just go to the beer place.
Finale, izquierda, finale, derecha, puerto,
cervezas.
That's exactly what they tell me.
How do you say take a shower in Spanish?
Bañate.
Bañate.
Un baño.
I'm on the way. Bañate.
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 Arriba. Okay. Well, I said we're going to talk NBA, but you never know. When Wiener Schnitzel comes up in the read here, then we go all over the place.
Lived in Germany.
We will talk some NBA next, because Ben Golliver is going to join us. He covers the NBA for the Washington Post. He is up in Brooklyn getting ready for the NBA draft, which takes place tomorrow night. Of course, the Heat have the 13th overall pick. So much going on in the NBA. We'll talk about it with him next here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Channing Crowder. Mark Hochman off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Alex Solano with us as well as we continue on here. A lot of NBA talk today with so much going on. Man, we're not even a week removed from the NBA Finals concluding, but between the trades, the rumors, the speculation, it is nonstop in the National Basketball Association. And for more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, where you can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And welcome in Ben Golliver, national NBA writer from the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter, @BenGolliver. Ben, appreciate your time today. How's everything going?
It's good, man. We just got out of the NBA draft media day. You know, Zion Williamson, John Morant, all those guys taking questions from dozens, if not hundreds, of reporters. They seem pretty excited about what's in store tomorrow night. And I think, you know, a lot of basketball fans feel the same way.
Yes, yeah, we're excited about that. And I saw, you know, on Twitter, you posted some videos of those guys talking, including it's got to be a little strange, right, for Zion Williamson. I know that he is long been assumed to be the number one overall pick, but he's already commenting on the new teammates that are going to be acquired from the Los Angeles Lakers, like Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. That's got to be a strange dynamic. He hasn't been drafted yet, and that trade isn't official yet.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I love about Zion, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and, like, he's kind of nervously laughing. He's fidgeting a little bit. And for a guy who's just, like, so indestructible on the court, he's very, very human off the court and in front of the microphones, very relatable. And I thought he did a nice job handling questions about his potential future teammates, the guys that you mentioned, and also, you know, just telling the story of where he was, you know, when he found out about the Anthony Davis trade. I guess he was at the golf range in Durham, North Carolina, there near Duke University. All of a sudden, his phone starts blowing up. His Twitter starts blowing up. He checks it, you know, sees the news, and, you know, realizes that, you know what, the Pelicans are going to be his franchise. And I think he was trying to downplay it, you know, trying to obviously keep his head together amid what's got to be just a crazy week when you think about all the Pelicans have gone through and all that they're going to go through here over the next 24 hours as prospects. But ultimately, it's a great situation for him. I think they're so much better off trading Anthony Davis, getting rid of that drama, all of the cloud of does he want to be here, all of those rumors, all of that stuff, and acquiring a bunch of really talented young players to put around Zion and allowing him to be the face of the team. You know, he visited New Orleans earlier this month. He loved meeting with the fans. They were giving him high fives on the street saying, hey, welcome to New Orleans. You know, we want to have you here. And after Anthony Davis kind of left on a sour note and left a lot of fans, I think, pretty upset and feeling burned by how he played that situation, I think it's a dream scenario for a guy like Zion Williamson, who not only has amazing basketball skills, but also a lot of charisma and a really wide smile that's infectious.
And, Ben, I want to ask you about that because I was just checking out your Twitter, you know, during the break, and his interviews, he gets it. Like, Zion gets what's going on. He understands it. He's not a deer, you know, a deer in the headlights. But we know he's a high jumper. We know he's athletic. We know, he has explosiveness. But what about his game? Like, what about, you know, what's he going to be in the NBA? Is his game going to transition to the next level of being a franchise changer?
You know, I think so. I'm all in on the Zion hype. I really believe he's the real deal. And a couple of reasons. You mentioned how he gets it. I mean, he's up there on the stage, and they ask him, well, which guys do you like to watch YouTube highlights of? And he says, well, Michael Jordan. Already, you know, you start to salivate. You say, okay, he's got pretty good taste in legends, right? But then he says, Michael Jordan is an underrated defensive player. He doesn't get enough credit for that side of the basketball. And then you say, oh, yes, like you said, he really gets it. This guy knows what it takes to win. I think you saw that all the time at Duke. I mean, this is a player who didn't need to be diving around on loose balls, right? We saw Ben Simmons at LSU. But he was jogging through that whole season, wasn't he? I mean, just trying not to put himself in any negative situations or any chance to get injured. You look at Zion by comparison. He's all over the court. I mean, he's diving. He's in practices for rebounds. I mean, he's doing whatever he possibly can to help his team win. And I think that's one of his most impressive attributes. I mean, put aside the dunking and all the other physical gifts, he's got a great motor. He's incredibly versatile. He can defend multiple positions. He can cover a lot of ground. He can get up and block shots. I mean, he can really do it all, and that's what's got me excited about him. But I think offensively, you know, if you want him to be a star, the most important thing you can do as an organization is to just maximize the spacing around him, get as many shooters as you can. And I think when you look at the Pelicans trade, there's a lot to like about Lonzo Ball and guys like Brandon Ingram, but neither one of those guys is a knockdown three-point shooter. And so when I look at that number four pick that New Orleans has, I really hope they draft a shooter. There's an obvious one who should be available, Darius Garland. I think, to me, that's what I would do with that pick. I would take him. I would hope that his shooting can really help unlock Zion in the half court and turn him into this, like, you know, one-on-one beast that nobody can stop.
Ben Golliver, national NBA writer from the Washington Post, joining us here on 560 WQAM. While we're on the topic of the draft, I saw your mock draft for the Washington Post has Gonzaga's Rui Hachimura going to the Heat at number 13. If that is indeed the pick, how do you see him not only making the transition to the NBA, but also fitting in with Miami Heat?
Well, he's got a really interesting game. I mean, so he came late to basketball because his family, he's Japanese, right? And so he kind of is one of these, just completely out of nowhere picks by Gonzaga. They've got an incredible track record of getting international players there and then developing them. They've taught him how to shoot the mid-range jumper. He's pretty forceful, strong, quick, athletic, moves pretty well. But I think ultimately, to me, when I look at the Heat culture, I mean, that's sort of what they've been defined by, right? It's like a bunch of grinders. You kind of give Eric Spoelstra, whatever kind of talent, he's always going to maximize it. And I just think it would be a perfect personality fit for somebody like Hachimura, who's already put a ton of work into his game here over the last 3 or 4 years, to just kind of keep developing in that type of environment. Now, there's some question, is he going to be available? It's very possible that somebody else would pick him before he gets to Miami. But, I kind of made that mock draft call with my heart a little bit, because I was trying to say, hey, what's the best place for this guy to really reach his full potential? And to do that, he's going to need to learn how to shoot the three-pointer, especially from the corners. And I also think he's going to need to get a little bit more comfortable handling the ball and a little bit more creative off the dribble. But I trust Miami's coaching staff. I mean, that's been a specialty of theirs, to try to, build players up and pull new skills out of them. And I just think he'd be a great fit there.
And I want to ask you about Anthony Davis. LeBron now teamed up in L.A., and as soon as AD goes there, Ben, they say, oh, they're the favorite to win the West. They're the favorite to win the championship. It's that easy. They don't need to see the other 13 players or anything. Those two guys together, they can win the West.
I don't know about that. I mean, I know it's a five-man game, right? And in the playoffs, you need 7, 8, 9 guys to win. I mean, Toronto wins the title because they basically outlast everybody, and they're riding, 8 or 9 guys in their rotation who are all capable players. I don't think it's a two-man game. I don't think two guys is going to get it done in the Western Conference, and I'm not sure why they're the betting favorites. I mean, that just tells me there's a lot of dumb money out there. People are getting a little bit too excited, right? They're seeing the fantasy implications, and they're thinking real basketball is like fantasy basketball. I mean, right now, I would put the Milwaukee Bucks, I would put either the Toronto Raptors or the Clippers, whichever one of those teams gets Kawhi Leonard. I would put a team like the Denver Nuggets, maybe even the Utah Jazz. You could also throw in the Philadelphia 76ers. I would put all of those teams above the Los Angeles Lakers. And the only way I would qualify that is, if they do find a way to get a third star, maybe somebody like Kemba Walker, where he really fits well with their group, then, okay, their ceiling's going to be boosted up a little bit more. But I think the Lakers are going to have a hard time filling out that roster and rotation. And we also saw what happened last year, didn't we? I mean, what a mess. Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, I mean, they're picking these guys up who are just not helpful at all. And that's going to be the real challenge for the Lakers. It's not just about winning the big, splashy blockbuster. It's about making lots of quiet, smaller moves that are helpful around the edges. And we're going to see if they can do that. I'm not convinced yet.
Ben Golliver, national NBA writer from the Washington Post, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Ben, since you mentioned the Bucks as one of your favorites for next year, how do you envision them handling the contract situations of Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Malcolm Brogdon? Do you think they just try to bring everybody back? Will we see them go out and try to replace some of those players? Because they do have some big decisions to make here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I really hope they don't get cheap, right? Because this is Giannis's prime right now. I mean, he showed he's an MVP-level player. He shows he needs a little bit of help because he can't shoot the basketball in the playoffs. So you have to have as much talent around him as possible. There is no excuse. It doesn't matter if you're a small market team. It doesn't matter any other factors. You need to pay up to keep that team around him. Or guess what? In 2 years when he's a free agent, he's going to say, I want to go to a team that will pay to put talent around me. So I think for the Bucks, they have to do everything they possibly can to keep all of those players. Middleton, to me, is the top priority, then Lopez, then Brogdon. The only reason why I say that is because they don't really have any other good wings besides Middleton, and because Lopez was just lights out for them all season as a center. If they lose either one of those guys, I think their identity is going to really take a hit. Now, that doesn't mean Brogdon's expendable either, but they do have Eric Bledsoe, who they've already re-signed to an extension, back in the spring. So at least he's kind of there as a fill-in player. But if you're asking me, who would you rather have, Malcolm Brogdon or Eric Bledsoe? I think for the next 3 or 4 years, I'd rather have Brogdon. He's just a little bit steadier, a little bit more reliable. And Bledsoe, unfortunately, just kind of gets into his own head in the playoffs, and he's kind of, he's there some nights, and he disappears other nights. So I don't see any of those guys being players that they can just try to easily replace. And I really hope they spend the money that it takes to keep them and then try to figure it out. Maybe trade some of these other bad contracts they have. I don't know, Tony Snell or Ilya Sova. I mean, some of those guys are maybe, trade bait you can kind of get rid of. But they need to keep their core together, because it's an amazing opportunity for Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference right now. especially if Kawhi leaves. I mean, they should be the prohibitive favorites going into next season. Don't blow it over some money.
And staying in the East, what's going on? A year ago, Ben, Danny Ainge looked like a genius. Now Horford's opting out. Kyrie's leaving. Why is his plans not working the way he thought they were?
To be honest, I trace it all back to the Gordon Hayward injury. I really think that was the moment where everything got screwed up because they really had dreams of a super team. And you bring in a guy like Gordon Hayward and you're getting full production out of him, I think everybody stays happy and they can kind of keep that thing together. The problem is he was basically giving them next to nothing. He cost them the whole season because of the injury. It's not his fault. He didn't mean to get injured, of course. But his injury, you know, set back their entire timetable. And then it really required a lot of adjustments once he came back in there. And, of course, we know how the NBA locker rooms work. They're looking across at Gordon Hayward and saying, wait a minute, we're paying this guy $30 million to give us, what, 10 points a game? Oh, this is crazy. And everybody starts to wonder, well, you know, we're probably stuck with him. If we can't trade him, does that mean I should start to go? If he's not able to show up in the playoffs, like how high is our ceiling? All those kinds of questions start to build. And you knew that they had chemistry problems all season long last year, in part because of Kyrie, you know, really casting himself as like the savior, even though he really wasn't able to deliver. And I also think in part because of the Hayward question of just a guy who's making that much money and not really able to contribute. So it doesn't really surprise me to see the Celtics splinter like this. I mean, I think they're actually better off without Kyrie, you know, getting back to a defensive first identity. Less ego, less competition for shots. I think there's going to be more rooms for a guy like, you know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum to really take the next step in their career and then kind of move forward. But that Al Horford loss, you know, if he does wind up signing elsewhere, that's going to be a crushing blow. I mean, he's the most underrated player for the Celtics here these last couple of years. He's the key to their high-ranked defense. I don't see another player on their roster who's going to be able to step up and do all the things that he did, whether it's setting screens, passing the basketball, covering for his teammates, switching on defense. I mean, all the little stuff that Horford does, they're not going to have anybody else to do that. And I think the Celtics are going to take a pretty significant step back next season.
Ben Golliver, national NBA writer from the Washington Post, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Finally, Ben, as we asked you about the Heat with the draft, but you know, we've heard some Jimmy Butler rumors, at least that he would be interested in talking to the Heat this offseason. Sounds like Hassan Whiteside will opt in. Goran Dragic has already opted in. The Heat in general do not have any financial flexibility. Is there any way for them to make a splash in this offseason, or do you think that Pat Riley and the organization will be patient and let some of these contracts expire over the next couple of years?
Yeah, to me, it's more of a wait-and-see year for Miami because of those contract decisions that you mentioned. I think for Jimmy Butler specifically, like, he's trying to get every last penny. I mean, this is going to be the last major payday for him. And I think whether it's from Philly or other places, I think that he's really intent on trying to get that max deal and being fully taken care of. And that's a tricky proposition just because, you know, he had the weird situation in Minnesota, burned some bridges there. I think he's getting a little bit older and he has a lot of miles from some, you know, playing some huge minutes under Coach Thibodeau throughout his career. So I think for him that, you know, what you're describing is most likely just kind of a negotiating posture, trying to, you know, gin up a market to make sure he gets taken care of. But I think the Heat in general, they're kind of in a pause situation. You know, check back in 12 months. I think they're going to be in a lot more interesting and entertaining scenarios involving stars.
Ben, great work as always. Hope everything goes well at the draft. It's going to be an exciting night tomorrow night. We encourage everybody to follow you on Twitter at Ben Golliver. Read your work in the Washington Post. Thank you very much for the time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, there he is, Ben Golliver, who's the national writer for the NBA from the Washington Post. And you heard there, up there in Brooklyn, talking to Zion, Ja Morant. That's going to be an exciting night tomorrow for the NBA draft. Channing, we got more basketball conversation to get to in the 5 o'clock hour. Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com will join us. Plus, in the next segment, we're going to give away a Blaze Pizza Party Pack. So stay tuned. A lot to get to in the 5 o'clock hour here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.